Amen. Just remain standing and turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm glad for that day when heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen. That day I got saved by the grace of God. Now you may have shouted or you may not. That doesn't mean whether you got it or not. Amen. When you come in the right way to the Lord Jesus, you come as a repentant sinner, believing on the Lord, you can be saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I'm glad He is still in the saving business. And whether or not you felt like heaven came down and glory filled your soul, if you got Jesus, you got heaven and glory. Amen. You got it all when you got Him. Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm only going to read one verse today, verse number 36. Last Sunday we read several verses here. I think verse 32 down through the chapter. But today I'm just going to read one. I'm going to revisit the thought about patience. Ye have need of patience. The need for patience, or the need of patience in the life of the Christian. Look at verse number 36. For ye have need of patience. You say, preacher, what are you preaching that for? For ye have need of patience. That's why I'm preaching it. Because we do. If we're going to please the Lord in this life, we're going to have some patience. All right? Let me read it now. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Hall if he would lead us in prayer, please.
Our Father, we're grateful, Lord, for the text that's before us today, the truth of it, the power of it.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for those trials and those tribulations.
Oh, Lord.
Help us to walk through.
Thank you, Lord.
And, Lord, you built patience within our own spiritual lives. We're grateful and thankful for giving us the ability, Lord, to wait upon God even in difficult times.
Oh, help us,
Lord. If you'll always lead us in the right way.
Yes.
You'll never forsake us in that way. Just stand firm and stand with us. We're grateful and thankful for that. Bless the preacher this morning, I pray.
Help us, Lord.
Ask the Lord to save sinners with the good grace of God.
Yes.
And strengthen your people. We thank you for good in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Well, as you know, this past Sunday I started a thought on patience. Didn't finish it in the AM. I came back on the PM service and didn't finish that message that I had thought of for the PM service. But in that, I talked about the need of patience, and that's where I'm still at. The need of patience in the life of the Christian. And I looked at the text, the context here on Sunday morning. Then on Sunday night I came to look at some things that commend this subject to us, this subject of patience. And I mentioned that I had seven or eight things. I dealt with four of those on Sunday. I'm going to deal with three today. And we'll finish up, there will be seven of these total. Things that commend the subject to us, things that recommend, if I could say it that way, things that recommend to us how much that we need patience. I said, first of all, just by way of rehearsal, that patience is commanded. And that's really all we need. If He said it, we need it. It's commanded by our Lord and it's commanded by His apostles. And I showed you that Peter, Paul, and James, and the writer of the book of Hebrews, all recommend that we have a need for patience, and they instruct Christians in that need of patience. Amen. We went yesterday, Brother and Sister Logsdon were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. They'd invited us to come. They were having a renewing of their vows. And I told Melissa, going down there, just several 50th wedding anniversaries right here all at once. The Halls, her parents, my parents last year, the Logstons. My dad told me about Big Clyde Smith, older preacher back in North Carolina that used to let me preach for him a lot and was a good man of God. Him and his wife just celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. Praise God. But I told him this, I said, we're going to all these 50th wedding anniversaries and ours is coming up in 18 years. I want them all to come to ours. Amen. And that's right. I expect them to be there. Amen. But seriously, It don't matter if you've been married 50 years or 50 minutes. You need patience if you're going to stay together. But it's not just in marriage. You need patience in every aspect of our life, especially if we're going to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to have need of patience. Well, I said patience was commanded. Number two, and I did A, B, C. A, patience was commanded. B, patience is one of the most obvious and blessed attributes of God. We see that our God is a long-suffering God. And I talked to you about the difference in the word long-suffering and patience, but the similarity, God has had a great deal of patience with me and you, and thank God that He has. Amen. He's long-suffering to us, word the Scripture says, and that's true. But then I said patience. See, patience is evident in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I showed you several aspects in His life that He displayed patience. And then D was the one I ended up on Sunday night with. We have been called to be like Jesus. And that would mean to display some patience. Now, I read you some scripture. I'm going to just read you two verses. You don't have to turn. But John chapter 13, verse number 15, our Lord Jesus said, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." And I made the comment, I don't think He was specifying the foot washing. I believe He was specifying that service, that servitude, that humility, that patience. Amen. That He has extended to us and displayed to us and expects us to display as well. And then 1 Peter 2:21, Peter said, "For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps." And so we're commanded to be patient. We are shown patience, and we're told to display and to follow that example that has been displayed before us. Amen. Now, I'm going to go with E. This is the fifth one that I want to think on and pick up today. And I want to say this, and I'm going to use some verses right here out of the book of Hebrews and out of the book of James. This point. Great saints of the past have displayed this grace of patience. Those Old Testament saints, the Bible said those things were written for our admonition. They're our ensample. They are giving us an idea. Why do we need to know about the history of Israel? Why do we need to know about the law? We're not under that law as far as for works towards salvation. I'll tell you why. Because those things are laid down to give us some examples and some ensamples that we can follow. And when you study the lives of the great men of the Old Testament, you'll realize there's a great need of patience. They displayed patience in their life. In Hebrews, he's dealing with it. Chapter number 6, if you'll turn back. Hebrews chapter number 6, he deals with Abraham. And verse number 12, Hebrews 6 and verse number 12, the writer gives us this admonition. He said that you be not slothful. Don't be lazy is that point. Don't be slow at this thing. Now, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It's not just by faith. He said they did it through faith and patience. And He said that's how you're going to have to do it. Amen. We don't just need faith. We don't just need to believe. We need to believe to the point that allows us to endure, that allows us to hold on, amen, that allows us to have patience to go through. We're trusting God. Now, I'm not through reading. All right, look again. We're in verse number 12. Let me get back there. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So patience is taught in there at the beginning and the end of that story. He said, you need faith and patience. And Abraham displayed patience, belief, and faith in the Lord's things there. Amen. That patience and belief. And we need to show that as well, that we might obtain the promises. Now, Hebrews chapter number 11. I'll comment on these men in a moment. I'm going to read you the verses. Hebrews 11, you know, that great roll call of the faith, the Heroes Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith. Verse number 24, he starts talking about, he deals with Moses. He started earlier, but he's dealing with Moses. Look with me, verse 24, Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, there's your word for patience, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He couldn't see him with the naked eye, but he could see him by faith, and he endured. He patiently waited for the promise. All right? James chapter number 5. Just turn over one more book. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. James mentions the prophets, their patience, and he mentions Job. James chapter 5, verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Amen. So we see some examples in these texts that I've read to you, these few accounts. We see these examples, and by the way, there's numbers of others, numerous others, that we could display this same thing. But here's a few good examples. He starts off talking about Abraham. And we're shown that Abraham had this grace of enduring patience towards God, in that he was trusting God that he would give him that land, and that God would give him the inheritance, and that God would give him the seed that was to come. Abraham, by faith, forsook all of Ur of the Chaldees, the wealth that he had there, and maybe the esteem that he had there. He turned his back on all that and wandered the rest of his life, as the Hebrew says, looking for a city not made by man. Amen. A city which hath foundations. He was looking for that heavenly Jerusalem, but he was also looking for some land, and that he might inherit that land that God had promised him that he would inherit. He also looked for his seed that would bless all nations. And so that's the Messiah that he knew was to come. And so he trusted God and patiently endured. Now there's areas and periods, that's the word I'm looking for, of when his faith got weak. I'll say something about that in a moment. But right now, I want you to think about Abraham. Abraham's known as the father of the faith, the father of the faithful. Why? Because he had patience. And we're told we're going to need this patience that we might inherit the promise as well. Then we're told about Moses there in Hebrews 11, how that Moses rejected the palace life of Egypt. How that Moses chose to wander in the wilderness with those children of Israel for 40 years, looking for the promised land, that land that had been promised by God. And listen, he had recompense of the reward. He was looking forward to that reward. Now, in his lifetime, think about this. In his lifetime, Abraham was called a fool. Moses was called a fool because, as far as the children of Israel was concerned, he led them into the wilderness to die. He led them into that wilderness just to waste away and die. But Abraham, I'll go back. Moses had faith and he had patience to wait on God for that which was promised, that he might see him who is invisible. Amen. And then James mentions about the prophets. He doesn't tell us who they are. They're unnamed in this particular scripture portion. But we could think of several. Several of the prophets that suffered ridicule, that suffered hunger, that suffered endangerment and banishment and even imprisonment, even cast into a den of lions. And some of those prophets were delivered. Some of those prophets were vindicated. Others suffered martyrdom. Amen. Others suffered the discredit of their memory, the discredit of their testimony. However, they faithfully and patiently waited on the promise. They believed God. I'm saying that Old Testament's full of saints that had patience. Now, we're living in a new day, but we in grace need that grace of patience. Amen. God kept a record of those old men, those old prophets, those old heroes, if I could say it that way. God kept a record of their life, and God kept a record and rewarded them accordingly, and we can trust Him to do the same thing in our life. Amen. Finally, James talks about Job. One of the greatest instances and illustrations of a man in no fault of his own is thrust into severe distress. Severe depression. Severe discouragement. I mean, he's lost it all in a matter of moments. Everything but his health, and then he loses that. And God turned the devil loose on him. And even though Job didn't understand, neither did his wife, neither did any of his friends, although he didn't understand, he kept trusting God. Amen. If we're not careful, we want to live in a life that we'll trust God as long as we know what He's doing. Lord, I'll trust You as long as You'll explain to me every step of the way. That's not trust. Amen. The idea of really trusting God is, although we're blindfolded, as long as He's got us by the hand, we're going to follow Him. Amen. Whether the road be wide or narrow, whether it get down to just a high wire act, amen. As long as He's got me by the hand, I can walk blindfold. That's trust. That is patience. That's believing God. And we can learn many lessons in the life of Job, especially about his patience. And so I simply say this, one of the things that recommends that we need this patience is the fact that God gave it to those Old Testament saints, and He'll give it to us too if we'll obtain it. If we'll seek it, I believe we can have that, and we need it in this life. Let me say F. This will be number six. F. This thing that recommends patience to us, this present world requires patience. Amen. This present world requires patience. Amen. We live in a world of suffering. It's a fallen world. Things are dying around us, and we can't stop it. Science can't stop it. Amen. We're living in a fallen world, a world of sorrow. We're going to face sorrow. I'll say this, there's no way you can ever get through this world and get out of this world without tasting your cup of sorrow and without being in some times of trial. Those occasions are coming. I'm saying we've got to learn to endure that, and God can give us patience to endure these things. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven, but our feet are still on this planet. And as long as they are, we're going to have trouble to some degree. Amen. We're going to need this grace of patience. And I say this especially if we're going to let our little light shine. Especially if we're going to represent Christ and Christianity to others, we're going to need patience. You think about it. I said, I'm suffering. This world's suffering. We're living in a world of suffering. There's five young men on this front row. And I know Josh has got whatever that is there that are trying to figure out. And I don't know about what all these others have got. Aches and pains and problems galore their parents could tell me about. But here's what I was going to say. Of these five fellas sitting on the front, every one of them somehow, some way have got aches and pains and problems. Now, they're so young, they don't know what aches and pains and problems are. You wait till you get a little bit older, amen. And then you'll know. But here's the point I'm trying to make. Everybody around you's got them too. Everybody. And so, I mean, here they are. They're lost without God. You're going to try to show them Christ. If you're complaining as bad as they're complaining, how are you going to show them Christ? Right. Yeah. If you can't bear it, there's no way I can make it, and you're going to tell them Christ can help you make it, then you're going to have to show them. You're going to need to live that. You're going to have to practice it. Amen. Amen. And so God put us here, and He put us here on purpose. He left us in this fallen world knowing troubles are going to come, knowing trials are going to surmount, knowing that there's going to be times we don't even understand, and wanting us to display this grace of patience in a fallen world. If you're in James, turn back to chapter 4. We were in chapter 5. Look at chapter 4. Verse number 7 is the verse we use and ought to use. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Those are two sentences in one verse, and I believe they're in there in their proper order. If you're going to be able to stand against the devil, you've got to learn to trust the Lord. Because you can't face the devil in your own energy.
Amen.
Or I should say, you can't do battle with him. You don't stand a chance against the devil in your own energy. You best not trust the arm of the flesh. The arm of flesh will fail you. The song said, you dare not trust your own. Amen. What do you got to do? Lean on the everlasting arms. Amen. You got to lean on Jesus. Trust in Him. He's the only way. So if we're going to face the devil, and we are, if we're going to face him right and be able to resist him, then we're going to have to, first of all, learn to submit ourselves to God and trust Him with some patience. Now, turn on over another book, 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're just inching our way back. We started in Hebrews, James, then 1 Peter chapter number 5. And I know you know this verse as well, talking about our enemy. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. That word be sober means be rational thinking, think right, be vigilant, keep your eyes open. Because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Did you know that word steadfast is a synonym of endure and is a synonym of patience? They go along. If you're going to stand against the devil, you're going to have to hang on to God. You're going to have to trust the Lord. You're going to have to believe in all those things. Amen. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. So we're called to faithfully resist the devil. If we're going to resist him, we've got to believe that help is on the way. Amen. Now, if you want to maybe hold your place, because we're going to be in Hebrews and James again, but turn backwards to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. The Apostle Paul gives the illustration of running a race. Chapter 9, verse 24. And I'll read the remainder of the chapter. He gives this illustration of running a race. The endurance. I touched on it Sunday night, and I used Brother Ben as an illustration. He runs long distances. Amen. And the endurance that it takes. But there is a training that builds up that endurance. Alright, and so we see that. Look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now let me stop just a minute and say something about that. That phrase, they that run the race run all. Some say that, and you read different commentaries, some of them zero in on that, say, well, that means they all run, but only one of them gets the prize. Some of them say, and here's what I believe is really right, that all of them put their all into it. Even though only one of them is going to get the prize. Everyone think that prize is worth them putting every ounce of energy they've got into that race. Amen. Now, Paul's telling us we're in a race and we're going to face these things. He says, you better build up your endurance and you better be ready to put your all into it. Amen. Look at verse number 25 now. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I'm going to stop just a minute and comment on that. They are temperate in all things. Did you know that runner is not just careful about his feet? He's careful about his legs, and he's careful about his belly, and he's careful about his arms. He's careful about what he puts into his mouth, what he puts into his belly. He exercises his whole body. He's getting it all ready so he can put it all in that running. Amen. And he's telling us that's what we're going to have to do, right? Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. So Paul is telling us we're in this race. We better put everything we've got into this race, knowing that the finish line may be just in sight or it may be way on out there, but we got to hold on and endure and keep on struggling and keep pressing on until we cross that finish line. Amen. Whether you've just started this race and seem like got a long way to go, or whether you've been in it a while, ain't no place to quit yet. We hadn't crossed that finish line yet. Amen. And so we're told we need to overcome the world. Paul's talking about being temperate. Watching what he puts into his body. Watching how he uses his body. Watching those things. And so he's being real careful about those things that he might endure. Now he brings that down to a spiritual aspect. Being careful even of things that may not necessarily be sinful. Let me use this illustration. It may not be poison to the body. For example, a candy bar may not be poison, depends on how you look at sugar. But a candy bar may not be poison, but it's not the best thing. There are some things out there that may not be blatant sin, but they're not the best thing if you're going to run a race. Amen. Some things that you'll just have to say, well, I'm not going to participate in that, or I'm not going to have that. I'm going to put that aside because I am in a race and I'm focusing on the finish line and I'm focusing on myself. I don't want to let the Lord down. I want those looking around me. I want them to see me running with patience and keep on for God. Amen. And so we need this patience and long suffering grace. Amen. 1 John 5:4, you don't have to turn there because we've been in 1 John. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How can we persevere? By believing God, we can persevere. Amen. And so we need this. If we're going to accomplish those things that our Heavenly Father wishes for us to accomplish here in this life, we're going to need some endurance. We're going to need some patience. These problems, and if I could say these little problems that come up in our life day by day by day are there getting us ready for the big race. Getting us ready for the long haul. Because we're building up that patience. We're building up that endurance. We've already trusted God. And by the way, once we've grasp some of that, then we can go on to bigger things, if I could say it that way. We can face bigger battles knowing that we've already defeated a lion back there and we've already defeated a bear back there. And the same God that killed the lion and killed the bear can take down that giant that's accusing us and condemning us before God. Amen. We can have that confidence. Why? Because we've already faced some trials. We've got to build up that endurance. Now, let me go to this, the last one. Not only do all these things recommend patience to the Christian. I'm going to say this last one. This is G, the seventh thing. And I believe this may be one of the most prominent that we can see. When you notice the evil that impatience brings into this world, the evil that impatience shows in the life of a Christian or of a person, when you see that, it recommends we need patience. Amen. My dad used to say this to me and my brother when we were young. He said, boys, a wise man does not have to experience everything to learn. He said, if you can learn by watching the experience of others, amen, you won't have to pay the bills, you won't have to bear the scars, but you can learn the lesson. Amen. That's true. And so God lays these things out in the Word of God and shows us over and over. I talked about those men in the past and their patience, and you see the greatness of that. But then you see the other hand, the impatience, and you see what happened because of impatience. Right. You know where it started? In the garden. Eve's there, and I don't know, personally in my mind, I think she's standing pretty near that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't think the devil had to take her a long way. The devil was probably there, and she got to seeing it, looking at it, got a little too close to it. Amen. And by the way, there's some places you don't even need to go. Some things you need to stay away from. Amen. But Eve got too close to that tree, and the devil starts talking to her. Now, let's fast forward. After all this had gone down, and Eve's fallen, and Eve's given it to Adam, Adam's fallen. In the cool of the evening, they hear the voice of the Lord come walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. And the Bible says that something along this line, at least it gives the impression that that was a daily thing. That happened every day. Now, how come Eve's up here and she don't know what to do? And apparently Adam's not telling her. I don't know the details, but it looks like Adam was quiet. He let her lead, and that's what God fussed at him about, by the way. For whatever reason, I don't know if she asked Adam for advice. Maybe or maybe not. Adam wasn't forthcoming, didn't look like with advice. But why couldn't she say, hold on, let's just wait till the cool of the evening, because the Lord's going to come by here, and when He comes by here, He'll show us the right way. But she didn't have patience for it. She didn't have patience to wait on God. She wanted her enjoyment now. You know what it did? And I say she, Adam is to blame. I'm not laying the blame at Eve's feet. The Bible doesn't lay it at Eve's feet. The blame lays at Adam's feet. Let's back it up then. How about Adam? When Eve says, Adam, you want to try this? This is pretty good. Like the fellow, the smoking cigarette. You want to try this? It's good. It don't smell good. It don't look good. Ain't nothing good about it. Amen. They get the bottle. They take a swig. Boom, it burns going down. Man, this is good. I mean, they had to wait to get their breath. Oh, you got to try this. This is good. No, it ain't good. There ain't nothing good about it. Amen. Eve's got that, whatever that fruit was, and she's taking a bite out of it. And she offers it to Adam. Here's Adam's place now. Adam didn't give her advice. Adam watched her. She was impatient, but he is too. Why didn't he say, hold on, Eve, let's wait a minute now. That's not what God said. Let's wait and see when the Lord comes by. Not only can He give me direction, He can help you. Adam didn't have the patience. Adam wanted things fixed. He wanted to be where Eve was. I really believe that was. And he dove in head first with her. That act of impatience has cursed man since that day. That act of impatience has cursed our whole planet from that day to this. Amen. I could tell you others, and I've got some, I don't have the verses, but just some of them written down here. You think about Abraham, that lack of faith, that little slip up of faith Abraham had started when he left the promised land and went down into Egypt with that famine. And he comes out of Egypt and he brings somebody. I'm glad he came out of Egypt, by the way. But he brings somebody with him. I'm not sure he should have. An Egyptian handmaid by the name of Hagar. God's promised Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. And it don't happen as quick as Abraham and Sarah thinks it ought to happen. Again, Sarah comes up with the bright idea. How in the world she thought this was a good idea. She says, Abraham, won't you go have a baby by Hagar, and this will get God's promise in. By the way, it's never right to do wrong. Right. Amen. It is never right. Even though you think, well, it'll work out right. I mean, it's a little wrong here. It's just a detour to get me to the right quicker. No, that's never right. Amen. Never right to do wrong. And so Hagar bears a son by the name of Ishmael that is a wild man. He is a terror, and his people are terrorists to this day. Israel is haunted to this day because of the impatience of Sarah and the impatience of Abraham. That ought to recommend to us, patience sounds like it's a pretty good thing. Amen. See, Moses up on the mountain, I'm moving in time, Moses up on Mount Sinai getting the commandments penned by the finger of God's own hand in that tablet, those tablets of stone. But while Moses is up there 40 days and 40 nights, the people get impatient. And so they ask for Aaron to make them a golden calf. That didn't turn out too good either, did it? What caused that nakedness? What caused that dancing? What caused that immorality? That immodesty. By the way, immodesty and immorality go together. What caused those things to all happen? I tell you, it was impatience. They were not willing to wait on God and God's man to come down with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Just one more real quick Bible example. Brother Steve's been teaching about Samuel. We talked about some this week. Samuel told Saul to go wait on him. And he gave him a time period, 7 days. He said, you go wait on me 7 days, I'll come, we'll offer sacrifice. Saul waited his time. And like Samuel, he probably got a last minute phone call or something. He's like a lot of preachers, he's running a little late. And Saul, in his impatience, wouldn't wait for the man of God to come. He says, here's a sacrifice. I'm afraid the people's going to leave me. I got to keep faith. And so he offers a sacrifice, enters into a place, not his place.
Right.
And Samuel says to him, because of that impatience, God's not going to establish your kingdom. Your kingdom could have been established forever, but God's not going to establish your kingdom because you're impatient. Amen. So when I say, you look at all the evil that's come into this world just because of impatience, that'll recommend patience to us in our time of trouble. Amen. You think about the impatience some young women have in waiting for a husband. It's caused them to forfeit their purity. Amen. Many a young lady has thrown away her virginity and her morality because she got impatient waiting on a young man. Can go the other way around. Amen. So many times young men get impatient waiting on God to bring a wife to you. Amen. When Adam realized that he needed a wife, you know how many women there was in the world when Adam realized he needed a wife? There wasn't one. And yet, you know what he did? He waited on God. God made one. He didn't make her out of thin air. It took some pain out of his side. No, I'm sorry about that. There wasn't no pain involved in that. God put him to sleep. God took a rib out of his side and fashioned a woman, the Bible said, and brought her to Adam. Now here's what, and I still believe God can do that in this day. I believe God can still bring the woman to the man in this day. But so many young men, they get impatient waiting on God. And if I can say, in many cases, they leap out of the frying pan and into the fire because they won't wait on God to bring them a spouse that He wants them to have. And we can go on and on and on and on. That's just some examples. One last statement I'll say about this and I'll get to my conclusion. I want you to think about the load you're carrying, whatever it is. Whatever your load is, you're carrying a load. And it may seem heavy. Should I put this up on here and kick it off? I've heard Brother hold it. You've got a load on you. I wonder sometimes when our impatience just adds to the load instead of making it lighter. Because instead of submitting to the will of God, we're kicking against the pricks. We're wrestling with God. We're arguing with God. Instead of just going on with what we've got and trusting God with our struggles, we struggle against it.
Right.
And that impatience adds a heavier burden than what God originally had put upon us. Amen. Now, in conclusion, I'll say this. I really do believe that giving thought to this thing about patience, we need patience. It's something we need in this day. Amen. Now, I've heard it said, and I understand the idea. They say, don't ask for patience because you're asking for trouble. Amen. If you ask for patience. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. Turn to James chapter 1, and we'll look at that again. I told you we'd be back there. James chapter 1. And I intend at some other time to look at some of these verses in James, what he has to say about it. But today I'm just going to end with this. Should we ask for patience? I ask this. If patience is an attribute of God, would it ever be wrong to ask for one of God's attributes? If patience is exampled to us by our Lord Jesus,
right,
would it ever be wrong to ask to be like our Lord Jesus? If it takes trouble to bring us patience, wouldn't it almost be like taking your vitamins to build up your strength? Amen. Read what James said. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. That's the first verse. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Oh, James said, you all just get excited when you see troubles coming. Oh, me. Verse 3. Knowing this, I'm going to stop just a minute. What is it he's saying we know? We know the end of the story.
Right.
The storm clouds might be rising. We see trouble on the horizon. But we know the end of the story. That's why we can rejoice and say, praise God, if God's bringing it on, if God will take me through it, amen, I'll trust God. Even in the storm, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word worketh means establishes, builds, strengthens your patience. Verse 4. And by the way, verse 2 and 3 is the second sentence. And so his first sentence really is just the address. He tells you who it's to, who it's from. I said it backwards, but who's from, who it's to, this letter. So the first official sentence of this letter is talking about trouble and talking about patience. Look at verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I've expounded on that last Sunday. I won't take time to say much more about it other than he said it'll make you grow. It'll make you mature if you'll let patience work in you. Now look at verse 5. He's given you a good thing to pray for. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now here's what I found amazing. I never noticed it before. That prayer request for wisdom immediately follows. It's popped right up against the fact you need patience. You need patience. So he said, if you don't think you need patience, then you need wisdom. Really, that's what he's saying. If you don't think you need patience, then you need wisdom. And so you better ask of God, and God will give you that wisdom. He'll give it to you liberally. Amen. Now, we talk about troubles. God may send troubles, or the devil may send troubles, or troubles might just be natural. Troubles are coming, but I tell you what we do need. We need for God to give us the wisdom that we might have the patience to endure these troubles wherever they come from. We can trust God through it all. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The need of patience in the Christian's life. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you and thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for reminding us again of the subject we started last week in the need of patience. I'll put myself out front saying, Lord, sometimes I think I'm a patient man until I realize I've reached the end of it quicker than I've got to the end of my trouble. Father, I pray, help us that we might be strengthened in this grace. Help us, Lord, that we might be strengthened in this characteristic, which is an attribute of God. This characteristic that is a characteristic of our Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus. And Lord, we got loved ones that's lost. Help us to show them the grace of God, that God can get us through the storm. Help us to be like those three Hebrew children that said to Pharaoh, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he don't, we're willing to go through the fiery furnace because we're trusting God. Lord, help us be willing to face our troubles so long as we face them with you. Lord, I pray now, move in this invitation time according to thy will. Move on the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Bring some sinner to Christ, though I've not preached to sinners specifically. Lord, I pray you'd bring them to Christ, because it is the Word of God that quickeneth, It is the Spirit of God that quickeneth. Lord, I pray you'd take the word and you'd build faith that they might be saved. I pray help the saints be strengthened in the inner man for your glory and honor. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Some's in the altar already. Maybe somebody else you might like to come and ask God to help us display this grace of patience while we sing.